Hello and welcome to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. Glad you joined us today. I hope that you'll stay tuned to hear our message and our music for today. The More Abundant Life radio broadcast features the ministry of Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today, Pastor Phipps is going to be speaking on the title, Who is Jesus? Before we get to the message, however, here is some music. And it's music that's going to be inspiring. I know it's inspiring for me, and I hope it is for you. A song by Pastor Phipps entitled, Just Keep On Climbing.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you'll make a start, He wants for you to know. All of your needs He will supply, He's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God. So don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, with faith you can be strong. There to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in His mind. He'll bring that brighter day. You just keep on climbing.
You are listening to the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, And we just heard music by Wintley Phipps. The song is entitled Just Keep On Climbing from the CD release, The Sun Will Shine Again. Now we'll get right to the message entitled Who Is Jesus by Wintley Phipps.
My message today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16. And I want to begin reading verse 13. The Bible says, Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the powers of hell, shall not prevail against it. One day, Jesus was looking for an opportunity to teach his disciples the most important principle that they would need to be successful in building his church. The opportunity came when our Lord had taken the 12 disciples into the northern part of Galilee. You see, his popularity had spread so completely throughout the land that it was difficult for Jesus and his disciples to be alone. Everywhere they went, the name of Jesus was spoken. It was whispered in the headquarters of the Sanhedrin. It was spoken of with fear and contempt in Herod's lavish palaces. And everybody, it seemed, had their own opinion as to who Jesus really was. Brothers and sisters, it is hard for us to imagine, but not even the disciples who followed Jesus were clear at first on who he was. Amazing. You would think that they followed him because they knew who he was. But they followed him by faith, not knowing who he was. At times, the things he said so shocked them. At times, the things he did so thrilled them that they would turn to each other and say, Who is this? What manner of man is this? And after 2 years of walking alongside him in ministry, with the cross looming before him, Jesus placed this question before them, Who say ye that I am? The disciples came back with ready answers. Master, Herod thinks that you are John the Baptist come back to life to haunt him. Others say you are Elijah returned to earth. Still others say that you are Jeremiah. But who do you say that I am? Suddenly Peter spoke up with a voice clear and compelling. He spoke up with a glorious insight as if a light had broken on him from heaven. Master, cried Peter, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter said, Jesus, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You are Peter, and I say to you today that upon this rock I shall build my church. Brothers and sisters, Jesus knew that after his death, that this ragtag band of disciples would form the nucleus of his church, and he wanted them to be certain of who he was. He wanted to remind us all for centuries to come that if we build this church on the rock, nothing that the powers of hell throw against this church shall prevail. Who say ye that I am? Friends, in asking this question, Jesus was not conducting an opinion poll. Thank God, it's nice to be at a place in your life where you don't worry about what people think about you. Are you with me today? I often tell people, you know, if I got bent out of shape because of something that someone said about me, I would be a twisted person. Amen? Jesus wasn't asking, tell me, what do they think of me? He was not trying to find out what the world thought about him. All Christ was interested in right then and there were two things. One, who did his disciples really believe he was? And secondly, he wanted to remind us that if we build this church on his life, his death, his resurrection, if we build the church on the promise of his abiding presence and his imminent and certain return, if we build on these truths, we build this church on a rock that is invincible. Brothers and sisters, those words spoken by Peter were not a statement of theology. Those words of Peter were no cold pronouncement. They were words filled with passion and tenderness. They were words of conviction that came not from logic or from reason, but from a supreme and noble faith. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, friends, imagine how Jesus must have felt to hear Peter's answer. You see, Jesus was human as well as divine. And when you are human, it hurts to be misunderstood. It hurts to be taken out of context. Imagine how Jesus must have felt to hear Peter's answer. He had been so completely misunderstood by his friends and companions. Jesus had been so viciously maligned by his enemies. It must have been wonderful for Jesus for somebody to come along after a long night of suspicion and finally understand who he really was. At long last, they had realized that he was more than just a good man, more than just another esteemed rabbi. He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus rejoiced because he knew that this was the kind of conviction that Peter expressed that was needed to build up the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Friends, just then when everything was at its darkest, you see, Jesus was about to be crucified. He came out with a supreme statement of confidence in the work that he had started. I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus knew that his church would have to face many difficulties in years ahead. So before he went to Calvary, he wanted to paint them a portrait of the church victorious, of the church invincible. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you. Now, brothers and sisters, those of you who were here when this church was constructed, how many of you were here when it was constructed? Amen. Well, those who do construction work will tell you, well, does anyone know where the cornerstone was laid? Somebody knows where the cornerstone was laid. Whenever you do construction work, they will tell you that the strength of a building, of a skyscraper, is determined by its foundation. When an architect builds a skyscraper, he must build a foundation several stories underground. Did you know that? The site must be excavated down to the bedrock. Most times, more tons of material are removed from the plot of land than the total weight of the whole completed building. Amazing. Reminds me of a story I often tell of in New York City. They notice a disturbing crack appearing on the 42nd floor of a high-rise skyscraper. So they sent for the architect, and he came and took the elevator up to the 42nd floor. But brothers and sisters, he didn't go straight to the 42nd floor. First thing he did was he went to the sixth basement, six floors down. The superintendent of the building came and went up to the 42nd floor to find him. That's what he heard, that he had gone up there. And when he went up there, he didn't see him. He went down and found him in the sixth basement. He said, "What are you doing down here in the sixth basement? Our crack is on the 42nd floor." He said, "Your crack may be on the 42nd floor, but it didn't start here. It's in the basement, in the foundation." Apparently what had happened was a security guard wanted to build a garage onto his house, and he didn't have the money. So every day before leaving work, he would chisel out a brick out of the sixth basement, put it in his bag, and took it home. That went on for 5 years, and after 5 years, a crack appeared on the 42nd floor. I want you to know that the strength of a building rests upon its bedrock, its foundation. And I want you to know today, we can build this church successfully only if we build on the rock, Christ Jesus. For no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I have one message for you today. As long as we build on the rock, our victory is assured. Listen to this wonderful poem. "Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the church of Jesus Christ constant will remain. Gates of hell can never gainst that church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that promise cannot fail." I've come to say to my church family today that down through the ages, the prince of hell has always tried his best to destroy the church. So don't be alarmed, don't be surprised if he tries to mess up this church. He knows, and why is he trying to mess up any church's victory? Because he knows the victory of the church just means his own destruction. So don't think that the prince of hell is going to sit by and let you celebrate 18 years. Don't think that he is going to just let things go. He is going to become exhausted trying to stop you. And that is the reason that in over half of the world today, do you realize that the intimidation and persecution of the Christian church is going on all over the world? We are just so blessed in this country to be able to come to this beautiful building and worship God according to the dictates of conscience. But most of the world cannot do what we're doing today. So pray for those believers in China and in Russia and in Africa and in the Middle East. Pray for those who are becoming tired of the struggle, who are bewildered and discouraged. Pray that they might believe with Paul that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the church built on Christ is invincible. It is what? The gates of hell will not prevail. Sometimes the prince of hell changes his tactics. He doesn't always use persecution. Sometimes he uses comfort and pride and power and glory to destroy the church. Once when Thomas Aquinas visited Rome, he was told by one of the visiting clergy there with him that no longer can we say like Peter, "Silver and gold have we none." And Thomas Aquinas said, "Yes, and neither can we say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." So often when the riches come, the power goes. Are you with me today? Brothers and sisters, empires are founded upon force, earthly kingdoms upon armies and navies, institutions are founded on money, secret societies on watchwords and signals and signs, but the church is founded on living men and women confessing in their gratitude that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And we have this great assurance that this building the Lord is building is going to be completed. Amen. Some of us may not be here to see it, but it will go on to completion. Perhaps you've heard the story of one who went to build a tower, but long before the cornerstone was in place, the visionary's resources were exhausted. Friends, it must be a real depressing thing to be a carpenter on a job and the contractor comes and tells you he's run out of money. It's hard to work when you know that tomorrow the work may be suspended. Oh, but the joy of working for Christ and His kingdom is knowing that we will never have any such dark moment. I want you to know that this building my Lord is building will be completed. You see why? Because the resources of Christ are inexhaustible. They are limitless. Somewhere I read that all power hath been committed to Him. We are working for a master builder who has infinite resources. And listen carefully today. His power is coextensive with His vision. What does that mean? It means that His power extends as far as His vision. The other day I had a revelation, actually, an epiphany, if you will. I needed a miracle. Have you ever needed a miracle? And amen. And I was becoming anxious and worried and concerned. Suddenly it dawned upon me, and I prayed a prayer that went something like this. Lord, I can do lots of things, but I don't do miracles. Lord, I can try to sing and pray, but I don't know how to do miracles. So if it's going to be, it's up to thee. Your power is coextensive with your vision. So Lord, you're in the miracle working business. I'm going to let you take care of the miracles. Do you need a miracle? Let God take care of the miracle. Jesus said that on this rock, I will build my church. Now listen to me as I close. Churches built on culture will crumble. Churches built on nationality will crumble. Churches built on ethnicity will crumble. Churches built on race will crumble. Churches built on laws and little rules will crumble. Only the church that is built on the life of Christ, on the death of Christ, on the resurrection of Christ, only churches built on the love of Christ will prevail. I want to read you something. Thank you, Jesus. Listen to these words from the servant of the Lord. Many persons are by their own endeavors hewn, polished, and beautified. A lot of good people in the world. A lot of good people who've lived. Moses, Abraham. But they cannot become living stones. Without a connection to Christ, no man can be saved. Without the life of Christ in us, we cannot withstand the storms of temptation. Our eternal safety depends upon our building upon the sure foundation. Amen. Multitudes are today building upon foundations that have not been tested. When the rain falls and the tempest rages and the floods come,
their house will fall because it is not founded on the eternal rock, the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. Seabrook, I thank God that this church is built on the rock, and the gates of hell shall what? Not prevail. Now, listen to this thought as I leave you. Many people have asked what I believe is the key to the successful growth of a church. And I go back often to a church that I pastored. We had wonderful services. They were nice. For 3 years, it went like that. And then one Sabbath, I did the unthinkable. I went down into the congregation. And I got down on my knees. It wasn't in the bulletin. And listen to my prayer. I said, Lord, we can't go on worshiping you like this. We can go nowhere without your presence in our midst. The sense of the presence of God in your life and in your church is the rock upon which the church can build successfully.
Well, that's the end of today's message and just about the end of today's program. I hope that you enjoyed this message. I hope it was a blessing for you. I know for me it has been a rich blessing to hear and understand about this topic, who is Jesus? If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. The phone number again for the Seabrook Church is 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 267. That's program number 267, which will reference today's title. I do hope that you'll join us again here on The More Abundant Life, but until you can, I want to wish you God's richest blessings, and I'd like you to remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
What's in your heart?